Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains mentions of blood, workplace accidents, and parking. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up The Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You're in the back seat of a car as we drive through the coastal town of Cannon Beach, Oregon. It's dark out and the highway lights cast a long yellow beam onto the wet pavement.
I know this.
You stare out the window watching raindrops race down the glass. Then your eyes track onto something strange. A man standing outside, but something is off. The man appears to be covered in bloody bandages. And before you can say anything, the man starts to race after the car. Killian, what is this creature?
The bandaged man of Cannon Beach.
Of Oregon. Let's open up the cryptid catalog and find out more.
I knew exactly what it is when you mentioned Cannon Beach.
How? Oh, is this a...
On...
Monstrum?
No, not
Oh,
on,
how do you
on,
know?
It's on Creepypasta Readings with El Loco.
Oh, the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, well, someone else knows about Bandage Man because this has been suggested by our friends Charlie Bear and Hunter. So thank you to both of them for suggesting the story and introducing me to the Bandage Man because I have never heard of him.
I actually told you about him. You probably just don't remember.
I have a terrible memory. I'm sorry. All right. Killian. I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Have you ever heard of the urban legend of the Bandage Man?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Well, before we dive into this legend, let's talk about the setting, which is Cannon Beach, Oregon. I was supposed to ask you what you thought of the Bandage Man, but you know too much about it now. So now we have to hold off. Let's get into the details first.
Okay.
Okay. And then you tell me if I got anything wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Cannon Beach. Cannon Beach is nestled into a remote part of the West Coast state of Oregon, but it's pretty well known from movies, films like Free Willy, which is one of Mommy's favorite movies when she was a kid.
It makes her cry.
It does make me cry. The Goonies, which you love the Goonies. We all
Goonies
love the Goonies.
Say die.
And one of Mommy's favorite movies when she was a teenager, Twilight. They've all used the perfect beaches with massive sea rocks or sea stack stones as backdrops for their stories. But Killian, the long, lonely highway 101 is the only way in and out of the movie Perfect Beach Town. And here's where the Bandaged Man lurks. So let's get into the legend of the Bandaged Man.
War,
correct.
War.
Which one?
War, like, not like, find this a phrase, lore, but like.
You said lore. I thought you said war.
I was like, no.
No, well, because war is correct. Because during the Second World War, sawmills in Oregon were overtaking trees and making lumber, and they saw an increase in production as construction boomed.
Actually, can I tell this part?
Well, okay, go ahead.
So this guy known as the Bandage Man.
Wait. We haven't finished talking about.
Okay, I was just about to say what you were
gonna. No, you're not. You're talking about the Bandage Man. I'm still talking about what was going on when this story started.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, got it.
I'm starting over now. During the Second World War, sawmills in Oregon, known for taking trees and making lumber, saw an increase in the production as construction boomed. Due to labor shortage caused by young people being sent off to the war effort. As the men and women working at the mills rushed to complete their tasks, it's no surprise that a number of accidents began to rise. Do you know what tools are used in sawmills?
Saws.
Correct.
And, like, here's how I think sawmills do things. So, like, there's, like, they, like, press a little button that turns on the saw.
Okay.
And they put, like, buckets that, and they put, like, a big, like, bucket there.
Okay.
And to, like, hold all of the sawdust.
Sawdust, yes.
And then it, like, comes down from this little pipe.
Okay.
And it, like, goes, and then, like, it, like, pops out and into a little glass case and they put it up for sale.
Okay, none of that is true. Okay. Do you remember in the movie that we watched together, Fern Gully?
Yeah.
Do you remember there was the giant crane that, like, took the tree, grabbed the trees and, like, loaded it onto the conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt, like, moved, and it's like a giant saw that, like, sliced it in half?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a sawmill. Get picked up by the giant crane. They go on to the very loud conveyor belts. The trees then head straight for an 8-foot saw blade. Just for reference, your daddy is 6 feet, a little over 6 feet. So 2 feet taller than daddy. That crazy?
Bigger than the animatronics at the Halloween store.
Bigger than the animatronics. Yes, that's true. They slice the trees into different directions, or different pieces, rather. So with all of the heavy machinery, an accident, if you're not careful, could happen, right? You've been helping daddy a lot with house projects lately, and you've learned that power tools can be dangerous if not handled properly, correct?
Yes.
Right. So after a bad rainstorm, an overworked and a very exhausted logger apparently slipped and slid into one of the saw blades in a way that left deep gashes down his entire body. His coworkers were quick at getting in the ambulance to arrive and seeing the severity of the cuts. The medics wrapped his entire body in
bandages.
Is this the part you were talking about that you knew?
Yeah, like, okay, it was like an accident. And
right.
And, like, they, like, came.
Okay.
I'm like, this is, like, he's not still alive, but he's, like, a ghost, but he's still bandaged.
Okay.
He's gone, but not forgotten.
Okay.
So, he just sits on that little road with a dismal look, so he's just, like, so he's just, like, waiting for someone, like a hitchhiker, but, like,
okay. Hold on.
Ravenous.
So, we're going back to when our man got injured. The ambulance, he's covered in bandages. The ambulance sped off with our badly hurt sawmill worker inside. Coming upon a bend on Highway 101 near Cannon Beach, the slippery road caused the ambulance to flip and crash into the forest. In the darkness, the back door of the ambulance was kicked open, and a man covered in bandages, dripping with loose skin and blood, stumbled into the forest. A short time later, police arrived, finding the medics unconscious and their patient missing. A trail of bloody footprints trailing into the woods. A search was conducted over the next 3 days, but eventually called off. There were no reports of a man wrapped in bandages wandering into the hospital, but there were also no other sightings. Many people thought that was due to his injuries, the bandaged man, his dead body, would eventually be found. The only thing ever found was a small piece of bloody bandage hanging from the welcome sign to the Cannon Beach Road sign. Several years later, a young couple parked their pickup truck along the secluded section of Cannon Beach on Highway 101 late at night. They were probably smooching. Moments after parking, the two heard rustling sounds coming from the nearby woods, but they assumed it was just the wind. The smell of rotting flesh overtook the two. Clicking their headlights on to try and get a better look at their surroundings, the truck lurched to the side as if someone had climbed onto the back. Looking through the small window in the back, the couple saw a man covered in bloody bandages, eyes bulging from a bruised and dripping face.
Can I say one thing?
Go for it.
So this guy is kind of like an unwelcomed hitchhiker, I would say.
I could say that. I could say that.
Because, like, he's not.
I mean, who wants a bloody man in their car?
So he's waiting for a car. Then he just climbs into the car without no one noticing until someone finally comes to their senses and knows. But
okay, sure, yeah.
But, like, then they come in. They're not welcome. Right. So, okay. What is wrong with you?
Okay. The driver of the truck didn't waste any time. He started the truck and pressed the gas pedal all the way down, kicking up sticks and rocks as the truck sped onto Highway 101. The bandaged man in the truck bed was knocked backwards and flipped off the back onto the street. Since that day, there have been several reports of the bandaged man appearing to others. He jumps out in the middle of the road, attacks people who parked their cars late at night, and can be seen eating stray animals as he walks along the side of the highway. Ugh. The legend says that the bandaged man is now a type of ghoul or zombie looking to feed on
human flesh. Our catchphrase.
Often missing pets along Cannon Beach are later found half-eaten and are said to be the victims of the bandaged man. Others have said he is now a type of ghost that wanders around Highway 101 in Cannon Beach, and his spirit forever is tied to the place where he died. So, if you ever drive along Highway 101 and smell rotting flesh just wafts into your car, be careful, because the bandaged man might be closer than you think. You think of the bandaged man. It's kind of gross, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, like...
I mean, I'm very sad that he got hurt, because, like, that's not... Yeah, that's not a good thing, I'm sure.
This is one of those tragic...
Right.
So, like, legends.
But here's the thing. Why does he have to eat pets? That's not very nice.
Yeah.
Do you think he is a zombie ghoul or a ghost?
I'd say neither. I actually think, since he can still eat, I think he's actually, like, half alive.
Okay.
But not in a zombie way. Like, he's, like, still alive.
Uh-huh.
But, like... He's dying a slow death.
Understood. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to like put in a way, but that's just how I.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Well, to be fair, what you're describing kind of is a zombie. Well, like, kind of half alive, half not, eats things.
Well, zombies really don't eat. They eat flesh. They can't digest it really good. I think that guy digests it.
So the difference between the bandaged man and zombies is their digestive systems?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Because if he was a ghost, he would not be eating pets.
Well, no. I agree with you on that. If pets are being eaten, then he's not a ghost. But I'm just trying to understand why you think he's not a zombie. I think zombie.
He's not green.
Not all zombies are green. Since when do you think zombies are all green?
Since Wicked, Mother.
Wicked? There's no zombies in Wicked.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Not even the zombies in Plants vs. Zombies are all green. Maybe they are.
Yes, they are.
I thought some of them were gray. I don't remember. Anyway... So, what do you think of the band? Well, you gave us a lot of information on what you think about the bandaged man.
Yes.
Is he scary to you?
Kind of.
Would you go to Cannon Beach? I would, because Twilight was filmed there.
I would go during the day.
Well, they did not say that the bandaged man only happened at night. It did say that it was when the people parked at night. So, but I don't know that it's only a nighttime thing. Or maybe, like, it is, though. Who's to say?
He's probably like, hey, I want to brood in the night, so I'm just gonna.
Maybe.
He's probably gonna be one of those night superheroes, but not a superhero at all.
Okay. So stories like the bandaged man come out of the 1950s when teenagers started driving cars on dates by themselves. to combat teenagers parking their cars and smooching on random lonely stretches of road, stories like The Bandage Man, The Hook Man, and others were created to scare teenagers away from something called parking, which is when you park your car and smooch a little. Teenagers did that back in the day because, like, they were like, I can't smooch at my parents' house. And so they're like, gotta smooch in secret. I'd be fine if you smooched at our house.
Okay.
I'd rather you smooch in our home than smooch on the side of a road where a bandage man would get you.
Yeah.
So whenever you're old enough to smooch, you can smooch in this house.
Yeah, but I had a question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, not a question. Another thing.
Okay.
Well, I heard from the podcast.
Okay.
There is another spirit in Cannon Beach.
Oh, okay.
It is called Muriel, I think, but she died in a lighthouse. She like got blinded by the light. And she fell out of an open window.
She fell
on some of the sharp rocks.
Oh, okay.
So,
interesting. Well, maybe if we have any friends from the Oregon Cannon Beach area, if you know what he's talking about, send us a message, and maybe that will be a separate thing we cover. Maybe we'll see. But either way, let us know. If you know what Killian's talking about.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Yeah, well, some of these are not very popular as others.
Oh, okay. All right,
Hookman's probably the most popular, I would say.
Oh, yeah, like we just said, a lot of little stories like that were created around the time that...
I actually think that the Hookman inspired Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers, yes. Okay, I could see that. Well, I guess it would be the other way around because Hookman existed, like the legend of Hookman existed long before Jeepers Creepers.
Well, yeah, but it was like a boyfriend.
It's the same thing, right?
Trying to kiss and stuff.
Right. So, but like we just said, those legends were created as a scare tactic to keep people from doing that.
Yeah.
So who's to say? But anyway.
So we can't kiss at all.
No, I didn't. No, we did not say that.
Because we can't kiss at our house, we can't.
I didn't say that.
No.
Other people?
Yeah.
Who's to say? Who's to say?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm guessing you don't want to meet the Bandage Man.
No.
I don't either.
I want to learn about him, but I don't want to
meet him.
Meet him?
Yeah. No. I don't blame you.
He's definitely not here for meet and greets.
Okay. Well, let's thank our friends Charlie Bear and Hunter again for introducing us to the Bandaged Man.
You, but not me.
Oh, so sorry.
It's fine.
You should still thank them.
Thank you.
All right. If you guys have any, like a cryptid or a folklore or just really anything.
A haunted house.
Yeah. Or just really anything spooky that you would like us to cover.
Anything out of the ordinary.
That's a good one. I would say that. Yeah, I agree. Grab your grown-up. Ask them very politely if they can help you get online, to send an email to us with a suggestion. And if we haven't gotten to your suggestion yet, don't worry. We've got a long list. The list is a mystery to us, but we've got it.
Yeah. Daddy shows you the list, not me.
No, not me. He doesn't show me the list at all.
Oh, I thought he did.
When I sit down to record this episode with you, I only know what the creature is about 5 seconds before you do.
Oh.
When I read it. In the title of my document.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. So thank you again for listening.
I'm Killian.
That's not the order we say this.
Okay.
I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
This has been The Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, the cryptids are watching.
There you go.
Also, watch out for the Bandage Man.
Watch out for the Bandage Man.
Yes.
All right.